Proverbs 21, verse 23. Proverbs 21, verse 23. Again, we in Renew Your Mind, Renew Your Mind series, part three of this particular series. And it's going to go on probably until the end of the year. And it's easy. It says, "Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles." Let me make it two. Whoso keepeth his or her mouth, I ain't going to leave y'all out. And his or her tongue keepeth his or her soul from troubles. Lord, ask for your power and grace to reside upon me. Please bring me into focus in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen. Y'all pray for me. Pray for me and make sure I become more focused. I had too much going on this weekend, too much going on a Saturday, and I just need to get my mind together. Amen. Amen. The devil is your enemy. You do know that, right? That's why I get uncomfortable with these shows, Lucifer. I ain't seen it, but it seems like they're trying to make people comfortable with the devil. And they're saying, I just don't understand that. And the devil just be so chill and cool or whatnot, as though, but he does say he does not disguise himself as a demon, but an angel of light. But I do need you to know that he is your enemy. He's always causing trouble. This verse of scripture is telling us that a key to keeping trouble away from our souls is to watch what comes out of our mouths. I preached a sermon when we was in the blueprint, and you might want to get a hold of that one. It said, shh, control your tongue. But we're not talking about that as much this time. But the enemy knows that he can only do what human beings give him permission to do. So if we speak trouble, we give him permission to make trouble. All right? So what you got to do in the name of the sermon is fortify your soul. You got to learn how to fortify your soul. And the main place to fortify your soul is with your mouth, by controlling your tongue. The Bible doesn't say it's like a raging fire. The Bible say it is a raging fire. In Proverbs 30 and 32, it says, "If thou hast done foolishly in lifting up thyself, or if thou hast thought evil, lay thine hand upon thy mouth." See, if you have a wrong thought, put your hand over your mouth. Don't speak it out. The enemy gave you that thought because he wants you to release it into the earth. He wants you to grant him permission to do that evil thing. God says that he will forgive us of all of our sins, but he holds a record of every word we say. And why does God do this? We talked about it before. Because you don't know what type of destruction you have caused by your mouth. See, the same way that God made you, the same way that God can speak things into existence, you can too. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. And the same way that God spoke the world into existence, you can speak your word into existence too. You're made in his image. Your tongue is powerful. You have the same creative power that God has. When you speak, stuff happens. It's not a coincidence. When you say, you know what, I ain't heard from so-and-so in so long and they call you, it's because your tongue spoke them into existence. If you don't want to talk to them, don't speak their name. It's not a coincidence. It happens too often, for you need to finally figure out that it's not a coincidence. Proverbs 39 and 1 says, "I said, I will take heed to my ways, that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me." David is letting us know that the devil is standing before us. Satan, spirit, you can't see him, but he's right there giving you thoughts. Like I was saying last week, the Wonder Woman movie depicts it very well. It shows how the demon of war was going before the scientists and the generals and the politicians and whispering in their ears, and they begin to have these evil thoughts, and they thought they were these ingenious thoughts. They were actually ingenious, but they were evil, and they thought the thoughts came from themselves, but it came from the demon of war. And that's the same way David knew that the devil was before him. And so he said, look here, I'm going to bridle my tongue because the wicked one is before me. It's not because you have the company of people. It's because Satan is in your midst trying to get you to speak what you shouldn't speak. Proverbs 22, 24 through 25 says, "Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go, lest you learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul." Stop hanging around these mean people. Just because they go to your church don't mean you got to hang with them. Some folk always have mess going on in their life because that's all they speak.
If that's all you talk, that's what you're going to get. Well, people, Tupac was one of my favorite rappers when I was out there listening to it all the time. When he got shot the second time, I left it alone. But let me tell you something. The problem is not people was acting like he was a prophet. No, he was not a prophet. He spoke what he got what he spoke. Because the Bible says your belly shall be satisfied by the fruit of your lips. So whatever you speak, that's what you will get. Control your mouth. Stop hanging around bitter people. And stop thinking you can handle it. Ask Samson. He thought he could handle Delilah. Oh, yes, he did. He thought he could handle Delilah. He hung around Delilah, thought he could not get caught up in a snare, but got caught up with her, even though his mama and daddy said, leave her alone. God said, don't bother these Philistine women. But he thought he was so tough that he couldn't get messed up. And stop hanging around people that can't forgive, because people that can't forgive get caught in the past. And that was the problem with Samson. It wasn't Delilah that messed him up. If you look at the verse before it, it says, and Samson never got over what happened with his first wife. He never got over his wife being given away to somebody else. So he held that bitterness and that walked in that unforgiveness, and he couldn't get out of the path. Stop hanging around people that keep staying angry, that never let go and continue to have their life to be so rigid because they're angry for something that happened years ago. Stop it. Said, look, don't think it's strange when the enemy comes against us with fiery trials. We are not to see this as something unusual because he's evil and does not like us. In fact, Deacon Allen, he hates us. He hates us. Why? Because we have dominion over the earth. And when we speak things, they happen. When something evil is happening in your neighborhood, if you speak it and bring it under the dominion of your power, it will go the correct way. And the devil knows this. The problem is, Trustee Kenyon, the devil knows more about our power than we do. He knows the threat that we have more than we do. Therefore, he's going to do everything he can to stop you. Everything. Because you can bring the word unto submission and to right standing by speaking it under the authority in Jesus' name. As a born-again child of God, the devil has no spiritual hold on you anymore, but he still has access to your soul. And your soul is where you make decisions. Therefore, he does everything he can do to get control over your soul. If he can get control over your soul, he can thwart the purposes of God has for your life and affect the lives of everyone around you for evil instead of good. See, there are many ways the enemy will come at you, and you need to guard your heart and mind from these strategies and traps. He can use other people or circumstances to snare you, but if you are not ignorant of his devices and your mind is renewed to the truth, you can keep from being deceived and led astray. One of the powerful things the enemy uses to influence us is discouragement. See, God says throughout his word that we are to have courage, and the opposite of courage is discouragement. See, the devil wants you to think that you don't have the strength or the ability to do what God has called you to do. See, he wants you to believe that you are worthless and hopeless, and when it comes to your job, your marriage, your kids, or whatever you face, discouragement is not something that usually happens in a split second. It is sneaky. It creeps up on you slowly. The devil will introduce you a negative thought to you one day and wait till the next day to give you another until you begin to have negativity in your heart. And then you slow down, and you're discouraged, and you might not even realize it. All you know is that you are sad and have no energy. God saw the people of Israel slipping into depression after Moses died, and he told Joshua, "Lord up yourself and be of good courage. Man up. He dead now. Stop crying about Moses. It's dead. Stop crying about that relationship. It's dead. Stop crying about that job. It's dead. Stop crying about whatever in your past you keep crying about. It's dead. He said, be of good courage. You know what good courage is? Good courage is courage that lasts. Good courage is courage that say, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Good courage is courage that say, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, his rod and his staff shall comfort me. Good courage is like, even though this weapon is formed, it shall not prosper. Good courage means I'm blessed in the valley and blessed in the field. And even if I'm having a bad time, because all things happen to the good of those who are called according to his purpose. Good courage is courage that don't run out. Good courage is courage that even in the midst of fear, it keeps walking it out because it understands that God orders my steps in his word. Be of good courage. Stop crying and whining about that man that left you. Stop crying and whining about that woman that left you. Stop crying about your mama and dad that left you years ago. You need to understand you have a father in heaven, and he can be your mother as well. He can be whatever you need. He's a father to the fatherless, a mother to the motherless. He'll take care of you. Oh, y'all don't hear what I'm saying. He has thoughts, the good thoughts he has towards you. He would not withhold any good and perfect gift from you. So maybe God moved those people out of your life because he knew they would limit you for where you're going. Oh, God told Joshua to be of good courage. But if you can't wait on God to tell you, you got to learn how to follow David. David, when he went to Ziklag, he had done all that. He went to war and did what he was supposed to do, and he had begun to take care of the enemies. But when he came back, come on somebody, he came back, the enemy had taken everything away from him. Can I tell you something? Stop letting people discourage you and tell you if you was doing what God was telling you to do that you would be all right. I used to think when I did the right thing, people would do the right thing back to me. I used to think if I love people, they love me back. I thought if I came to work on time, my boss would like me. But let me tell you something today, baby. The rain falls on the just and the unjust alike, and you're going to have some good days, and you're going to have some bad days. And if I could sing, I'd say my good days outweigh my bad days, so I won't complain. Control your mouth. Control your tongue so you can fortify your soul. You ain't got to talk every time. I used to watch that. I finally got it into the show. And that was the Boston Public show. There was a man called, his last name was Lipschitz. Yeah, his name was Lipschitz. That was his name. And some of y'all last name, you're messing up because your last name should be Lipschitz. That's a name. I ain't cussing. It's a name. That's the name of the character that was on Boston Public. And every time he said something, it was crazy and stupid. And you realize they named him that to let you know he's going to have some stupid stuff to say. If some of y'all can just control your tongue, your life will be better. I'm just talking about the character. Look it up on look it on movies. This is character name. See, but David, he got distressed in verse 30, in chapter 30, 1 Samuel 30 and 6, it said, and David was greatly distressed, see, because the men wanted to kill him, because even though he was doing the right thing, he began to get discouraged because the people were mad, and they talked about stoning him because the soul of all the people was greed, every man for his sons and his daughters. But David, in the midst of it, but it said, but David encouraged himself in the Lord. See, sometimes you have to encourage yourself, and the only way you can encourage yourself is in the Lord. Go to the Word of God, get alone with God, and say, God, I need some encouragement. You gotta let God know the truth. See, some of y'all keep telling God, hi, and when he say, how you doing? I'm blessed and highly favored of the Lord. You know good and well you can't pay your rent. Tell God, if this supervisor say something to me one more time, if she knock this chip off my shoulder, I'm gonna lay holy hands on her neck and not her shoulder. God, I need you to come and show up right now. You got to start calling on God and stop calling on everybody else. God, I'm about to choke somebody right now if you don't come down here. If I come in here and somebody turn the heat on one more time and don't have it on cool, if they don't get a box to lock this thing up, because I'm going to chop somebody's fingers off. If you cold, bring a coat. I'm the one preaching. I'm calling on him. Let me pull them cameras. The Spirit told me not to wear a jacket because I would have found you today. I want it like they own something. This ain't your house. The great thing about turning to God for your encouragement is that he will not only strengthen you and lift you up, but he will also give you wisdom on how to handle the situation or circumstance. When you go to the Lord for discouragement in his word, you are putting yourself in position to be transformed. Look at 1 Samuel 38. It says, and David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? See, he said, bring me the ephod. First of all, he said, look here, the priest ain't doing nothing for me. Pastor, I ain't got time to find your word on Monday. You gave me a good word on Sunday, but it's Monday, and it done ran out. So you know what? Bring the ephod to me. And he answered him. And God said, should I pursue them? And God said, pursue them, and you shall overtake them, and you shall recover all. David completely defeated discouragement by getting a word from the Lord. He said, look here, I know Jesus ain't came yet, but I know I see in the spirit that the veil is going to be broke from the top to the bottom, and I ain't got to go do no Hail Mary to the priest. I ain't got to go sit in no cabinet and talk to some man if he ain't got an appointment open for me. I can go talk to God right now myself and say, God, I'm going through hell right now, and I don't want to be lip shits. I want to speak what I'm supposed to speak. I want to speak your will over my life, and I need you to come. Tell God you need him in. Well, stop lying. Your trouble. David defeated. As a result, in the text in verse 18, David and his men indeed recovered everything the enemy had stole. They'll take your stuff in the first place. Go get your stuff, let them take it. Took it through your mouth. Tries to capture your soul, stop. Pull out your Bible, play this CD, listen to Joyce Myers, T.D. Jakes, somebody, and encourage yourself in the Lord. Sit down and meditate on spiritual things so your mind can be renewed, and then sit still and listen to what God has to say about the situation. The Comforter will comfort you and teach you what you need to know to overcome and get the victory in the situation. You will be transformed. If the enemy cannot discourage you, he would try to pressure you into doing what he wants you to do. Oh, yeah, look in Daniel chapter 3. There were some people in the king's court that were under the devil's influence and hated the people of God. The devil influenced Nebuchadnezzar to build a huge image of himself. And whenever the music sounded, everybody was able to stop and reverence the king. Well, everybody knew Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego weren't going to do that. It's funny how the enemy knows you're not about that stupid life. Oh, y'all better help me, somebody. Yeah. Look, your coworkers already know what you ain't going to take. That's why they try to push your buttons a certain way. Oh, come on, somebody. I wish I had Ms. Oliver here to help me. Every now and then, people got to understand that people will try you because they know what you're about. Oh, y'all don't hear me. But see, you got to let them know about that Jesus life. And see, people think they gangster. Oh, yeah, see, people think they're gangster because they from the hood and they had a hard life. People think they're gangster because they got a gun. Whatever. I was walking to the neighborhoods after the shootouts were over, though. I ain't go when they were shooting. And Deacon Spare's like, what's wrong with you, you silly Negro? You need a vest. But the thing about it is, I feel like if I'm doing what God told me, as long as I'm using some wisdom, and the vest costs too much. But he got the police people to buy all the chaplains a vest. Thank you, Deacon Spells. I feel a little safer now. But the thing about it is, gangster is knowing what God has called you to do. That's why I could live in a neighborhood. God told me to live in a neighborhood that was decrepit and be the live-in chaplain there. And I left my nice house to go live in the hood. And like I said, the dope dealer threatened me and told me he was going to kill me. But he didn't, because I take care of his son. That's gangster. Why? Because you're about that Jesus life. And you know I'm covered by the blood of Jesus. And when God sends me in a situation, even when it's dangerous, he's going to take care of me. Now, don't do nothing foolish. Now, the police didn't call me one time, Brother Jarrell, and said, hey, I need you to come down here. They shooting right now. And I'm like, okay, well, come right now and pray. Certainly not. I'll wait till the shooting is deceased, and I'll be there right after it's over. Maybe a couple of hours or so. Use wisdom. He gave me a sound mind, too. I ain't just going to run up to the bullets. Hold on. I'm here. I'm Bible man. Oh, Jesus, I think not. I ain't DC nor Marvel Comics, you know what I'm saying? I'll be all right. Something wrong with me. I know. See, I'm a great example of God uses the foolishness of man. And so, stop clapping so loud, lady. Put your hand. You ain't even joined the church yet. Oh, visitor here clapping all loud. She ain't even no member. Yeah, yeah. Be quiet. First time visitor, just, oh, God. Security. All right, thank you, Michael. I just messed with you. All right, back to my source. Oh, Jesus, I want to get focused here. Anyway, they resisted, though. Nebuchadnezzar spake unto them and said, is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image? I'm in Daniel 3, 14 and 15. That I set up. Now if you be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, and all this stuff, you're supposed to fall and worship the image which I have made. Well, but if you don't worship, you're going to get cast this hour in the burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? See, the devil is applying pressure because they ain't been discouraged. See, when they can't get you with pressure, I'm gonna still be in the same series, but I think I'm gonna have to preach about David next week. But anyway, but he applies pressure on you. See, he put their lives on the line. Since they weren't discouraged, he'll squeeze you a little more. Yeah. But listen to the response in verses 16 through 18 in Daniel 3. It says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said unto the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee. Dude, if it be so, our God will serve that we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou set up. But they said, king, we ain't got to think about this. We ain't got to meet in no huddle. We just going to speak all together. Our God will deliver us. See, now, look, don't misinterpret this scripture, because I done taught you wrong just like other preachers. I began to look at it more in the Greek and the Hebrew. Look, don't misinterpret this scripture. Verse 18. He says, but if not, he'll deliver us. If not, we won't worship you anyway. Look at this. If you don't throw us in there, is what they're saying. We won't bow. Look, if he throw them in the fire and they get burned up, obviously they ain't gonna bow. Right? But if you really look at the original Hebrew, the way it reads is, if you don't throw us in the furnace, we still ain't gonna bow, even if you think you're sparing us. So you throw us in the fire, we're going to be delivered. But if you don't throw us in the fire trying to show us that you cool with us, we still ain't going to bow down. I'm about that Jesus life, son. Represent what? Deacon Day, they said, even if you don't throw us in there, we're going to be all right. We ain't going to bow down to you. If you throw us in there, we ain't going to burn up. If you don't throw us in there, don't act like you're showing us mercy. We still ain't going to bow down. Because remember, if they throw them in there and they get burned up, how they going to bow anyway? We've been teaching this forever, and that's why when we go to people's hospital beds, we pray without faith and say, Lord, if it's your will, heal them. If it ain't your will, don't. You got to have that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego faith that know 100% I will be delivered. God will deliver me every single time. God is my ride or die. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, his rod and his staff shall comfort me. I don't care what it is. I'm blessed in the valley and blessed in the field. I'm blessed in my coming. I'm blessed in my going. No weapon formed against me shall prosper because I'm about that Jesus life, son. See, y'all think Christianity boring. This ain't no spectator sport. When you really start doing for God, you won't have a boring life. You will always have a story to tell. See, when I was doing comedy all the time for young people, I was assistant principal. I had always had a story. I could leave work and go walk straight on stage and just talk about my day. They laughed the whole time. It was true. They're like, that sounds true. It is. One day, my brother called me. He just sat on the phone. He did it a couple of days in a row. He said, man, when I moved from Stone Mountain to Dunwoody, I went to Bel Air, pretty much. I left the hood and went to the rich side. So left Stone Mountain and went to Dunwoody. And then he said, man, your life boring now, man. He just hung up the phone on me. Then he didn't say bye. Neil just hung up the phone, man, because he just wanted to hear a story. I said, man, you ain't got no more stories. I was like, oh, so he wasn't calling me because I'm his brother. He would call me because I knew I had an entertaining story to tell. Click. Can I tell you something? I can get sermon together, but I don't need to find examples. I get examples every day. And some people get mad because I tell examples, but I don't say your name. I'm like, stop being the villain in the story. I didn't say the villain. I didn't name your character. You just know you in it. I'm just saying, let me get out of here, man. I'm talking. He applied the pressure. So they knew that they were going to be all right. See, the enemy will put pressure on you to run from your problem instead of taking it face on like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He'll get you a divorce, leave your family, to quit your job or commit suicide. He will get you afraid of your future, of your circumstances, and all of the people around you in your life, and you are running high. But when you start fortifying yourself in the name of Jesus, you can handle every wow and every attempt of the devil on your life. See, God's going to always give you a way of escape no matter how much pressure it is. See, thank God we are not without hope when the pressure seems unbearable. The people who put pressure on us, who are under the influence of the enemy in the world, don't have the Holy Ghost. So you got to seek a weapon. They don't have God's word on the matter. They don't know the power of the name and the blood of Jesus. All they know is what their senses and their natural minds tell them. And most of those thoughts are from the devil. See, believers, we work on a higher level. We live from our spirit because our minds are renewed with the truth of God's word. We walk by the spirit and not after the flesh. We walk by faith and not by sight. And we know that God's promises are true. One of those promises is that he will always provide a way of escape when the traps or attack come. You better ask Haman. You better tell him to leave Mordecai alone. He made those gallows for Mordecai. But at the end of the day, Haman was the one that hung on him. You need to let your enemies know, and you got to warn them, because you got to know. See, you know, everybody, even just watch the Denzel Washington movie, Man on Fire, or what's the other one, The Equalizer. And he be in there, he be talking, and he be so calm and giving them an opportunity to get the stuff straight. And then he'll lock the door, like, I gave you opportunity, you don't want to do right, I'm about to break you off. I know I sound real hood this morning. It's Monica's fault. She was looking at him, I'm telling you, it's her fault. But look. He warned him. You got to start warning. You need to have the confidence that you start warning your enemies. Don't try me today. In fact, don't try me tomorrow either. Because really, I'm trying not to pray on you. And I don't mean P-R-E-Y. I mean P-R-A-Y. You know, because when I put the word on you, God going to handle you. Because I ain't got time, because he'll handle my enemies. You understand what I'm saying? You got to understand that you got to be able to have the confidence and know that you're going to win. Now, I you know what I'm saying? 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is coming to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that what you are able. See, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye be able to bear it. The enemy wants you to go down the path of destruction. He's after your soul, and he applies pressure to try to get you to make quick decisions. Then you won't take the time to consult the word and the spirit, but God promised you in writing he's got a way of escape. See, when God makes a way of escape for you and you follow his way, you will escape to a higher place. You will come out victorious. You won't be ashamed. On the other hand, if you succumb to the pressure, you will say, I just can't take it anymore. I don't see any other way. I've got to get from underneath this pressure. Then you will sink even lower. See, what will help you to take God's way? What will help you to take God's way of escape? What will enable you to make decisions according to the word of God and his spirit? Look, you got to know this. 2 Corinthians 10:3-5. For thou, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down vain imagination, every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. This scripture is referring to the strongholds in your mind. See, some of the things we just going out here pulling down stuff over here, it's your mind. The battleground is your mind. Egypt is your mind. These are thought patterns and belief systems the enemy has programmed us with. He has programmed us with the thought patterns like, I'm not good enough for God to bless me with this job. I can't do what others can do because of my past. I'm weak. I will never change. But you got to go to the Bible and pull down those strongholds in your mind. Read about who you are in Christ Jesus. It says in 2 Corinthians 5:17 that you are a new creature. It also says that your past has passed. See, your future does not care about your past. You renew your mind with the truth. Start thinking and saying, I am brand new. My whole life is new. My past no longer is going to cause me to live the low life. Jesus had brought me into the high life. See, one of the enemy's biggest strategies is to keep control over our soul is guilt and shame and condemnation about our past. The times we've fallen and the times we fail. That is why it is crucial that we renew our minds to what God thinks and feels about us as his children. When you come into the kingdom of God, your body may not change. You may still be skinny or fat, short or tall, but inside you brand new. The person that did all this sinning in the past was dead. Now you live according to the spirit instead of your flesh, and you no longer have desire to sin. The woman caught in the midst of adultery had every reason to feel dirty and guilty and unworthy, but Jesus had some interesting things to say about her. He turned to religious people. They were like about Jesus. Jesus turned to religious people, Deacon Garvin, and he started writing in the sand. And he said, anybody without sin, cast the first stone. You know what I think he was doing, Brother Dre? You was over at Shaquita House over there last night. Yeah, yeah. You were alcoholic, okay? And they began to see all they stuff in the dirt. And then they dropped the stone. Oh, yeah. I just read the subtleties of the Bible because he just stooped down and started writing. What are you writing in the sand for? I know your business, and your business. Stop letting people make you feel bad. We all fall short of the glory of God. Come on, somebody. We all fall short of the glory of God. We all sin. And then he looked away and he said, look here, where are your accusers? Nobody to condemn you? She said, no, they all gone. He said, well, neither do I. Go and leave your life of sin. Jesus never condemns. He heals, saves, and restores. See, John 3:17 says, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. God isn't going to bring up your past because it has passed. It passed away when you were born again. The ways of escape from haunting memories always begins with renewing the mind to God's truth about you. You are forgiven. You are cleansed. He whom the son has set free is free indeed. Whenever the enemy tries to paint you into a corner with discouragement and pressure and guilt, purge those evil thoughts and bad memories by washing your mind with God's holy word. Remember what we said in Ephesians, you got to wash your spirit the same way you wash your body, the same way you go work out and you sweat, or you go to your job, or you just live in life and you got to go home and take a shower. You got to learn how to wash your spirit with the showering water of the word of God. You got to begin to make room for you so God can give you new revelation. The sword of the spirit is the word of God. And the more you read God's word, the more your spirit is magnified in you, and the more it begins to bring your flesh into submission. The more he begins to tell you that you're wonderfully and fearfully made. The more he begins to tell you that yea, though you walk through the valley of the death of the shadow of death, you shall fear no evil. The more he tell you that you're a mighty man, a woman of valor. The more he tell you that you are an overcomer. The more he tells you what you're supposed to be and who you are, the more he tells you what you are called to be. He told Jeremiah, even though you're a crybaby right now, before you was in your mother's womb, I called you to be a prophet. I know you're scared right now, but this is what I called you to be. Oh, I know, Aaron, you messed up and you got orgies going on. You done made a golden calf and you got people all over the place, but I made you to be a high priest and you're supposed to be able to stand in my presence. I'm going to call you what you're supposed to be and not what you are right now. Begin to speak those things that be not as though they were. Renew your mind and let everybody know that you're a child of God. Even though you fall, God is still with you. He never would have died if you could have done it by yourself. He never would have went to the cross if you could have done it by yourself. If you could live blamelessly, he never would have done it for you. He couldn't use Moses because Moses kept killing folk and cussing folk out. He didn't have any confidence. He kept trying to use Jeremiah, but Jeremiah kept whining about stuff. Isaiah had to have hot coals put on his tongue because he burnt. Because he is a car. Y'all don't hear me? He kept trying to use all these people, but he understood that we fall short. That's why he said you can be made a new creature through Christ Jesus. Renew your mind and stop letting people tell you what you can't do. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Not some things, but I can do all things. I can start my business. I don't care if I ain't got no money right now. All the lady in the Old Testament had was a little pot of oil, and she started a vibrant business with a little pot of oil. All I can do is put some beads together and make some jewelry, but I'm gonna make some money. All I can do is go around here and borrow some money every now and then, but I'm gonna be all right. Why? Because my God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory. I'm renewing my mind right now. I'm blessed. I'm not cursed. I'm blessed. I'm not sick. I'm blessed. I'm not a failure. I'm blessed. I'm gonna live the high life and not the low life. Who? Make room for us in your hearts. See, this is what they, this Paul, look what Paul said. Make room for us in your hearts. We have wronged no one. Hold on. I almost messed up the screen. We have corrupted no one. We have exploited no one. Paul, you killed my mama. Paul was going around here killing folk. And Brother McClendon, he talking about he ain't do nobody wrong. Now, that's a Negro that done embrace a new life. Can I keep on? You was a murderer. You was killing Christians, going door to door, calling them guilty when they were innocent. You thought you was right. Now you talking about you ain't did nobody wrong. Maybe that's why nobody want to listen to Paul. Hold on, Paul, hold on. You know last week, right? I give you maybe 2 weeks ago, Paul. You was just shooting them. Now all of a sudden, you renewed. Now you ain't did nobody wrong. You done killed folk, right? You done shot folk up. You done took their mama and daddy. Hey, how you doing? You done took their mama and daddy out the house and killed them, and you talking about you ain't do nobody wrong. David would do the same thing, though. David was one of the greatest sinners of all time. But he said, you know what? I ain't sinning against nobody but you, God. I told everybody I'm sorry. So you need to tell people you're sorry and stop doing what it is you're doing, and don't let anybody condemn you, because Paul wrote over two-thirds of the New Testament and had killed so many Christians and said he ain't do nobody wrong, because he embraced the new life. They changed my name from Saul to Paul. I'm good. Maybe that's why pastors take their name and stop being Willard Maxwell. They be W.G. Maxwell. They get... Willard did all that. I'm W.G. I don't know who Willard is. That's who did you wrong. It wasn't me. But what I'm saying is, he embraced a new life and said he wronged nobody. One of the greatest sinners of all times, along with David. Photo finish. We don't know who did the most wrong. But can I talk to some people? Come on, the time, y'all. Most of the real hardy Christians come at 8 o'clock. Let me talk to the streaming folk who ain't up. Straight shade, but it's true. Stop worrying about what you've done in your past, because God acknowledges that your past is over. He knows that the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. His top disciples, Peter, James, and John, went up to the mountaintop with him, and all he asked them to do was watch and pray. And he couldn't even watch and pray. They went to sleep, and he got mad and frustrated. He said, you can't do it, but he said, you know what? Your spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So what he said, he knows your spirit is right because you connected to him. But you got to continue to beat your flesh into submission. Stop worrying about your past. Beat that past into submission and walk into the glorious power of God. Amen.